And welcome to your GCSE Art and Design Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we're diving into one of the most exciting areas of your course, graphic communication. Whether you're working on your portfolio right now or preparing for your externally set task, this episode will give you everything you need to feel confident and ready to impress the examiners. So, what actually is graphic communication? At its core, it is the process of designing primarily visual material to convey information, ideas, meaning, and emotions in response to a given or self-defined brief. Think about every poster you've ever seen, every logo, every magazine layout, every app icon on your phone. All of that is graphic communication. It's design with a purpose. It's art that speaks. Graphic communication sits at the intersection of creativity and problem solving. Examiners want to see that you can not only make something beautiful, but that you can make something that works, something that communicates effectively to a specific audience. Now, the four assessment objectives are the backbone of everything you do in this course. Every piece of work, every sketchbook page, every annotation, every final outcome is assessed against these four objectives, and they're each worth 25%. Equal weighting, so you cannot afford to neglect any one of them. AO1 is about developing your ideas through investigation. Research relevant artists and designers. Critically analyse what you find, not just describing it, but asking why a designer made certain choices, what effect those choices have, and how that might influence your own work. AO2 is about experimenting with media, materials, techniques, and processes. Try things out. Test different approaches. Use digital tools alongside traditional ones. The key word is refine. Examiners want to see that you've tried something, evaluated it, and then improved it. That journey of refinement is gold. AO3 is about recording. This is where so many students lose marks unnecessarily. Recording doesn't just mean drawing, although drawing is absolutely essential and must appear in both Component 1 and Component 2. Recording also means written annotation. Your annotations should be an integral part of your creative process, not a bolt-on afterthought. Use specialist vocabulary, explain your decisions, reflect on what's working and what isn't. AO4 is about presenting a personal and meaningful response that realises your intentions and demonstrates understanding of visual language. This is your final outcome, the piece that brings everything together. Now let's cover the key concepts and vocabulary you need to know inside out. Typography is the art and technique of arranging type. Your choice of typeface communicates personality before a single word is read. A serif font like Times New Roman feels traditional and authoritative. A sans serif font like Helvetica feels modern and clean. When annotating, don't just say you used a font because it looks nice. Explain how the typeface reinforces your message. Visual hierarchy is the arrangement of elements to guide the viewer's eye and show order of importance. Think about how a newspaper layout works. The biggest headline draws you in first, then the subheading, then the body text. Create this hierarchy using size, weight, colour, and placement. Colour theory is enormous in graphic communication. Understand primary, secondary, and tertiary colours. Know about complementary colours, those opposite each other on the colour wheel, which create maximum contrast and visual energy. Red communicates urgency and passion. Blue suggests trust and calm. Green evokes nature and sustainability. The grid system helps designers create order, alignment, and consistency across a layout. White space, also called negative space, is the empty area around and between elements. It gives the eye room to breathe, creates elegance and clarity. Some of the most powerful graphic designs use white space as a deliberate compositional tool. Now, let's talk about key practitioners you should reference in your work. Paul Rand created iconic corporate logos, including IBM and ABC. His work demonstrates the power of simplicity, how a bold, geometric mark can carry enormous meaning. Saul Bass was a master of film poster design. His work used bold shapes, limited colour palettes, and strong typography to create instantly recognisable imagery. He shows how graphic communication can create emotional impact through reduction. Neville Brody revolutionised magazine design in the 1980s through his work on The Face magazine. He treated typography as image, breaking the rules of conventional layout to create something visually explosive.
April Groyman was a pioneer of digital design, one of the first designers to embrace the computer as a creative tool. Her layered, experimental compositions blur the boundary between graphic design and fine art. When you reference these practitioners in your annotations, explain specifically what you've taken from their work. How has studying Saul Bass's use of negative space influenced your own composition? That specific analytical annotation is what earns marks at the higher levels.
Now let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make, because knowing what to avoid is just as important as knowing what to do. The number one mistake is treating written annotation as a bolt-on. Your annotations are not a separate task you complete after you've finished your visual work. They are part of the creative process itself. Think of your sketchbook as a conversation between your visual ideas and your written thinking. Every time you try a new technique, annotate it. Every time you research a new designer, annotate your response. Every time you make a decision about colour, composition, or typography, write it down and explain why. The second big mistake is failing to provide evidence of drawing. Drawing must appear in both Component 1, your portfolio, and Component 2, the externally set task. Drawing doesn't have to mean photorealistic pencil sketches. It means using drawing as a tool for thinking, for exploring ideas, for communicating your intentions. Thumbnail sketches, compositional studies, typographic experiments, all of these count. The third mistake is not meeting all four assessment objectives explicitly. Some students produce beautiful final outcomes, but have very little evidence of research or experimentation. Others have wonderful sketchbooks, but a weak final piece. You need all four. Use the assessment criteria grid as a checklist. Before you submit, ask yourself, where is my evidence for AO1, AO2, AO3, AO4? The fourth mistake is failing to acknowledge sources. If you use an image, a typeface, or a design from another source, you must credit it. This is a requirement. Examiners will look for this. Now, let's talk about Component 2, the externally set task. This is your 10-hour timed practical examination. You'll receive a paper with a range of starting points, and you choose one to respond to. The preparation period before the 10 hours is crucial. Use it to research, experiment, and develop your ideas thoroughly. When you go into the supervised time, you should know exactly what you're making and why. The 10 hours is for making, not for deciding. For any written elements, always use the command words as your guide. If a question asks you to analyze, break down the work into its component parts. Discuss the use of colour, typography, composition, and visual hierarchy separately, and explain the effect of each. If it asks you to evaluate, make a judgment. What works well? What could be improved? Why? Always justify your opinions with specific reference to the work. Now it's time for our quickfire recall quiz. Pause the podcast after each question, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Ready? Question 1. What are the four assessment objectives in GCSE Art and Design, and what percentage is each worth? The answer is AO1, develop, AO2, experiment, AO3, record, and AO4, present. Each is worth 25%. Question 2. Name three key practitioners relevant to graphic communication and explain why each is significant. You might have said Paul Rand for iconic corporate logos and the power of simplicity, Saul Bass for film poster design and bold use of shape and colour, Neville Brody for revolutionary typographic design and magazine layout. Question 3. What is visual hierarchy and how can you create it in a design? Visual hierarchy is the arrangement of elements to guide the viewer's eye and show order of importance. You create it through differences in size, weight, colour, contrast, and placement. Question 4. Why is white space important in graphic design? White space gives the eye room to breathe, creates clarity and elegance, and can be used as a deliberate compositional tool to draw attention to key elements. Question 5. What does the acronym DRAFT stand for as a memory hook for the creative process? DRAFT stands for Develop Your Ideas Through Research, Refine Through Experimentation, Annotate with Specialist Vocabulary, Final Outcome that Realizes Intentions,
test and evaluate throughout. How did you do? Don't worry if you couldn't answer all of them perfectly. That's exactly what revision is for. Go back to your notes and try again tomorrow. Retrieval practice, testing yourself, is one of the most powerful ways to make information stick. Let me leave you with a quick summary of the key points from today. Early communication is about designing visual material to convey information, ideas, meaning, and emotions. Your four assessment objectives, develop, experiment, record, and present, are each worth 25%. Annotation is integral to your creative process, not a bot topic. Drawing must appear in both components. Reference key point issues like poor wind, sore backs, narrow body, and equal volume, and explain specifically how their work has influenced yours. Use specialist vocabulary, topography, visual hierarchy, color theory, grid system, white space, negative space, composition, and visual language. You've got this. Graphic communication is one of those areas where your everyday visual world becomes your classroom. Look at the design around you, on packaging, on screens, in magazines. Ask yourself, what choices did the designer make? Why? What effect does it have? That kind of active, curious engagement with the visual world is exactly what examiners want to see reflected in your work. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck with your studies, and I'll see you in the next episode.